All right, welcome into On the Bench Sports Talk Radio. This is another quickie episode because we are still locked out of the building. And, well, I'm doing it from the closet of my home. If you saw on our Instagram page at On the Bench Sports Talk, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/On the Bench Sports Talk Radio. Sammy the Blade here for you. We will be back next weekend, yeah, the 27th, I believe the Saturday is. That'll be the first day that we are allowed back into the building. See, we do the show from the campus at Cal State University, Long Beach, and we can't get in on the weekends until school is back in full in session. So we have to wait a little bit, but you know what? This will have to do. Just don't want to lose content and wanted to keep it going even through the break. It's going to be a short, quick episode, probably about 10, 15 minutes at most. And what it's going to be about is a divisional round of the playoffs with the next round's predictions by me. Hopefully you didn't listen to me because I ended up going 500 in the divisional round, which was not very good. And usually I do a little bit better than that. But let's start off with the first game that was played. That would be the Falcons at the Philadelphia Eagles. I took the Falcons in it, figured no Carson Wentz. It's going to be Nick Foles. He was not very good in his starts. Matt Ryan has been very good in his starts in the playoffs in the last about 5-6 weeks of the regular season. And guess what happened? If you watch the game, Philadelphia ended up winning 15-10. So not a very high-scoring matchup in the city of brotherly love. And Nick Foles, 23 of 30 for 246, no turnovers. And the big story was the Atlanta defense could not get to him. Only one sack, where Matt Ryan was sacked 3 times. He had a pretty good game, though. 22-36 with a touchdown. But it was the running games. They kind of both stumbled. 20 for 86 for Atlanta. 32 for 96 for the Eagles, with a long of 23 and 21 in favor of Atlanta. But you know what? Philadelphia, that defense was really good to hold that Atlanta offense to only 10 points. And, you know, congratulations to the Falcons for their defense holding Philly to 15. But, you know, I can't imagine Wentz was in there. I mean, they might have scored about 30. 15 to Nick Foles seems like a lot, especially with the way that he's been playing. So Philadelphia moves on, and, you know, the road to the Super Bowl goes through Philadelphia. Next game that was on was Tennessee at the New England Patriots, and guess what? Tennessee actually had the lead in this. They went up 7-0 and then ended up finding themselves down 35-7 before they got a garbage touchdown. Everybody thought maybe Brady was getting too old. Well, he threw the ball 53 times, connected for 35, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 337 yards. Marcus Mariota, 22-37 for 2 TDs and 254. Not bad, but the problem was he was the leading rusher on the team as well. Derrick Henry couldn't get anything going, and that's what Belichick does the best. He takes away what has been working for you, and he took away the run game of Derrick Henry, 12 of 28 only. That's an average of 2.3. Not going to get done, but surprisingly, Danny Amendola, 11 for 112 yards. How about that for Danny A, huh? Not Gronk being the lead receiver, not Gronk being the lead targeter. Amendola, 13 targets. That would have been a great fantasy day. So, as expected, the New England Patriots will host the AFC Championship game, and the road to the Super Bowl goes through New England for the AFC. I'm going to save my team for last, even though they played first. I wanted to wait a whole day and a half before I did this episode to sort of calm down, because it wasn't too good, I'll tell you that. So let's go to the afternoon game, which was the Saints at the Vikings. And what a game this was. Saints at the Vikings. This one was the best game of the playoffs. 29-24 in favor of Minnesota. And that came with no time left on the clock when Stephon Diggs caught that miracle pass from Case Keenum. 61-yard pass. Stephon Diggs caught up the right sideline and went on to scramble in for the game-winning touchdown. That was the best ending to a game I think I have ever seen. I've never seen anything like that. And this was after Minnesota had a 17-0 lead at halftime. And you know what? It was just, I have never seen anything like that before. I don't know if any of you have, but that was the most exciting game. Minnesota putting up 403 yards. the Saints putting up 358, 24-23 in favor of Minnesota for first downs in that game. That was unbelievable how amazing that game was. And for the Saints to come roaring back like that, 17-0 down at half, and then all of a sudden at the beginning of the fourth quarter, it's 17-14 Minnesota, and then 20-14 Minnesota, and then 21-20 Saints, and then 23-21 Minnesota, and then 24-23 with 25 seconds left to go. That was unreal. That ending of that game is something that is going to be remembered forever. I tell you that. That's going to be, I think they dubbed it the Minnesota Miracle. Usually Minnesota's on the other end of these kind of plays based on their history. But this might be the team that actually goes to the Super Bowl where they are hosting it. Facebook.com/OnTheBenchRadio. At On The Bench Sports Talk on Instagram. Send me the blade here for you for On The Bench Sports Talk. We are usually live on Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 22 West Radio, but because we can't get into the building, I decided to keep the show going and do some little quickie episodes from my closet. If you go on the Instagram webpage, you will see the picture that I posted of my home studio, quote-unquote. It's a beach towel hung up on the clothing rod, you know, that you put your hangers on in your closet with the microphone dangling from it. That's really my studio, and I'm not lying about that. But Drew Brees, 2 picks in the game, 3 touchdowns. Willie Snead just missed connecting. I saw the play, but I couldn't tell who it was thrown to. Just missed connecting. It was a backwards pass by Brees to the left side, and then might have been Kamara was going up the right side. Willie Snead just missed him by probably like a foot, and if they would have connected on that, they probably would have scored. Minnesota would have been on the losing end instead of the winning end of this one. But what a game. That one's going to be going down for the ages. So now Minnesota will travel to Philadelphia and play the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, 3:40 Pacific, 6:40 Eastern, on Sunday, January 21st. The Patriots will host the Jagwagon at 12 Pacific on Sunday, January 1st. New England favored by 9, Minnesota favored by 3. And as I said, I wanted to save my team for last because this is the game that I had the most at stake with. This is the game that I had most riding on the line for, the one I was more interested in. I thought Pittsburgh would have won this game handedly. They ended up losing 45-42. They went out, Pittsburgh did, and 28 first downs. Controlled the clock 31-28, 545 yards against the second-ranked defense in the league, being the Jagwagon. But you gave up 378 yards to this Jacksonville offense. 378 yards. Ben Roethlisberger, hell of a game, minus the 2 turnovers, 37-58 for 469 yards and 5 touchdowns against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the big story was that Jacksonville offensive line, no sacks given up, which was huge. It was huge because Pittsburgh could not get the Jacksonville Jaguars off the field, and that was an issue. That was a huge issue. Jacksonville was 8 of 14 on third down. 8 of 14. There was one play in particular. Pittsburgh had them at a 3-7, 3-8, so 3 and long. Jacksonville converted after Bortles ran through all of his reads and dumped it off to Yeldon behind the line, and he scampered up the sideline for what seemed like an 80-yard pickup. It was 40, but from what it looked like, because being a Steeler fan, you're seeing that, you're like, what is going on? Tackle hit. Tackle him! But Blake Bortles, 5 for 35 scrambling. Leonard Fournette, 25 of 109. They had no answers for him and 3 touchdowns. But one of the big things was, in this game, fourth down. Pittsburgh was actually 4 of 6 on fourth down, which I was surprised that they converted that many. It seemed like they lost more than they converted. There was a couple that were fourth and short, fourth and one, somewhere in between there. All Ben had to do was fall forward. And one play in particular, they went for it. Could have had an easy field goal, but went for it. They pitched it out to the side to Bell, and he got swallowed up by about 3 yards. I don't understand why you're trying to pitch it That drive, they had two rushes up the middle that went for big gains. Another big problem was that Le'Veon Bell only had 16 rushes for 67 yards in this game and only had 9 catches. You got to get the ball in his hands more often. That guy is dynamic. He's impossible to stop. He should have touched this ball 35 times that game, whether you're down or not. Now, I know that, you know, a lot of people want to blame Haley for stuff, and I didn't think he was going to make it after the season anyways. Him and Ben have not exactly been getting along the last couple years, so I figured he would be gone at the end of the season regardless, whether they went to the Super Bowl or got eliminated in the first round like they did here. But I think that this game squarely's blamed on Mike Tomlin and Mr. Butler, their defensive coordinator. You cannot give up 45 points. And granted, 7 of those points came, you know, via the fumble scoop and score by Jacksonville. Now, did I jinx myself earlier in this year saying that it was the year of the Jagwagon? I might have. But Pittsburgh's offense was great. Their defense was pathetic. It was 28-7 at one point in the second quarter, after Telvin Smith scooped up the fumble and ran it in for 50 yards. It was 28-7. So you look at that, Pittsburgh gave up 38 points on offense. That is just pathetic. Just goes to show that they were not taking this game seriously. Coaching staff wasn't taking this game seriously, and that was evident when Tomlin was talking about playing New England a couple days beforehand in a press conference. This is the difference between Bill Belichick and all the other coaches. He is not concerned with anything else. He may be concerned with games in the future, but he doesn't publicly announce it. The team doesn't publicly announce it. You had Bell talking about a rematch. You had Mike Mitchell talking about a rematch with New England. You had Bell's saying two rematches in back-to-back weeks, or round twos. Two round twos in back-to-back weeks. I love it. Something like that. Just stupid. Stupid, stupid play. There was no game plan. This has been Tomlin's MO. They played down to competition. Is Pittsburgh better than Jacksonville? Absolutely. Is Jacksonville a good team, though? Absolutely. That defense is really good. Could they make it to the Super Bowl? I think there's a chance that they could beat the Patriots. But what I think is going to happen, this is going to be a repeat of whenever Pittsburgh went to Denver, and Denver won the division at like 8-8 with Tim Tebow, and then they beat Pittsburgh in overtime with that 80-yard touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas, and then they went to New England and got absolutely destroyed. This is what's going to happen. Jacksonville's going to go to New England. They ran their course. They're going to lose 35-3 because Bill Belichick is a game planner. He's going to take away the running game. He's going to force Blake Bortles to beat him, which isn't going to happen. New England's going to go to the Super Bowl, and that'll be it. Now, this is me just maybe being a little bit pissy about everything, but you know what? You might have to fire Tomlin and Butler and just clean house. Tomlin's a great coach, but it's time and time again that he's getting outcoached by other coaches. He's getting outplayed by other teams. I mean, they almost lost to the Browns, for God's sakes, this year. They lost to the Chicago Bears. Granted, it was on the road, but still. They played down to their competition because they're constantly not ready, because they're constantly looking at the big matchup between them and the Ravens, them and the Bungles, them and the Patriots. They are not concentrated on the now. They're concentrated on what comes later. And this is the biggest problem. This is the Achilles heel of this team. This defense is not very good. Yes, they're missing Ryan Shazier. You cannot give up 38 points in the playoffs and expect to win. And you especially cannot give up 38 points in the playoffs against Blake Bortles, of all people, and expect to come out victorious. Just ridiculous, though, that you lose in that fashion. Embarrassment. Not only did you lose to them the first time around at home, they came in and smashed you in the face twice on your home field. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. So Jaguars, Patriots is the morning game. Patriots are going to win. I'm going to say 35-13. Patriots take care of the Jaguars. Move on to the Super Bowl again. And it'll be in Minnesota, indoors. And the Vikings play to the Eagles. Eagles are hosting the Vikings. Minnesota's favored by 3. Patriots are favored by 9. After that game last week, I'm going to have to go with the Vikings. That defense is good. That defense is great. I think they're going to give Nick Foles problems. They're going to sack him a couple times. and I think that they end up winning. It'll be low scoring. I'm going to say 21 to 13 in favor of the Eagles. I think it'll be a good game, though. I think it'll be a smash-mouth game. It's going to be a physical game. It's going to be whoever has the better ground game, and I think that's going to be Minnesota. So Minnesota and the Patriots facing off in the Super Bowl is what I have. See if I'm right after next week. Facebook.com/OnTheBenchRadio, on iTunes, On The Bench Radio, on Instagram, On The Bench Sports Talk, and on 22 West Radio Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific on 22 West Radio. The Bench abides, everybody. We'll be back next week. I'll do another episode this week, talk a little bit maybe about the Pirates and their ineptitude because, well, they just basically trading everybody away, and they should probably just have the team stripped of themselves and move the team somewhere else because you're an embarrassment to the city. Talk more about that later. Sammy the Blade here for you, and Facebook.com/OnTheBenchRadio. See y'all later, everybody. The Bench abides.